Hi, this is Scott Galloway, NYU professor, best-selling author, serial entrepreneur, and the host of the Prop G Markets podcast. For nearly 2 years, Prop G Markets has brought listeners unfiltered analysis on high-flying stocks, burgeoning sectors, stupid acquisitions, and master of the universe CEOs. Starting May 20th, Prop G Markets is launching a new feed with 2 episodes per week. What a thrill! The good news? I know how to get you rich. The answer? It's on Prop G Markets. Don't miss out. Listen and subscribe to Prop G Markets wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC St. Louis. Gateway to the Midwest. We are back. Derek Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento main event. How are we feeling, Jed?
I mean, this is the fight St. Louis has been asking for. You know, they've been calling, hey, UFC, we got to get back here. We got to show love to the Midwest. And we really need Derek Lewis, Rodrigo Nascimento. It means so much to the area. So, pretty pumped.
There is no denying that the UFC is addicted to heavyweight main events. Doesn't matter. Does not matter the caliber of fighters. If it's a heavyweight fight and they can potentially make it a main event, they will. I will give them credit, though. Like having Joaquin Buckley, Sean Woodson, Charles Johnson, all local guys on the card. Don't have a ton of St. Louis guys on the roster. So the fact that you got most of them on here is pretty great.
You know, it's... How many of them are on here? I didn't actually do a deep dive into...
Wow. Wow, you don't know about how many local fighters there are here.
I am aware that there are 2.
Joaquin Buckley.
Sean Woodson, are the ones that like... But like, yeah. I just know that off the top of my head. Are there any prelim dudes who I just didn't like
Charles
take
Johnson.
The effort?
Charles Johnson.
Oh, Charles Johnson. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Born in Topeka, Kansas, but fights out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. I must have just forgotten about that because I hate Charles Johnson as he goes against everything we stand for.
We can get into that. We can absolutely get into that. And we will. But before we
and
do
we
that,
will.
Before we do that, last week, how did we do? UFC 301, Brazil, Rio de Janeiro.
We went right back to the same thing we've been doing all year long, Connor. We lost a half unit. All we do is we win one unit, we lose a unit. There's no big losses, no big wins. We're just slowly moving our way through the year.
So you do that. What I do is I have monster weeks one way or the other.
You're taking big swings.
Big swings.
I'm hitting singles or grounding out to first.
I think I've had 3 weeks this year of 7 units or more of winnings, and also 3 weeks of seven units or more of losses. I've tried this new strategy where I don't do many bets. I've been reverse swept twice now. The 2 weeks where I was like, I'm going light, I got reverse swept both weeks.
I mean, that one hurts.
Getting reverse swept sucks. Like, you're just like, damn, I missed every bet. Like, not only would it have not have been smarter to just completely stay away from tonight, it would have been even smarter to look at all my bets and be like, you know what? I don't know shit. I'm just going to take the exact opposite, and I would have had a perfect night.
Yeah, that is tough. The reverse sweep is a hard one to stomach.
Ooh, and I actually got to enjoy it live in living color at Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney. Got to watch my reverse sweep come into play. It was a thing of beauty. I was on Fight Ends round 7 through 12, was on Fight Doesn't Go to a Decision, looked very close to happening, didn't happen. But alas, we are back in a big way on UFC 301, up like 9 units. Nice night. Shout out to Jose Aldo. Biggest bet of the night comes through. Underdog. Love it.
I mean, that shout out to Jose Aldo. Aldo, one of my... Let me pull up my scene, because like I kept it pretty light last week. I just went I went three and four because the parlay Vitor Petrino bungled the 666 parlay, which is, you know, the difference there. But
can we talk about Vitor Petrino for a second? Because I'm sitting here glowing about how well I did. It would have been a historic night, an historic night, if Vitor Petrino had not jumped Gillian, had been able to get past Anthony Smith. My Brazilian favorites parlay, the 30 to win 1,000, came one leg short, and that leg was Vitor Petrino. So shout out to him. Shout out to him, legend, legend of the game, Vitor Petrino. Everybody, round of applause.
Let me also say, you know, I did it. We talked about it. I did it just for the fun of it. I put literally $1 on the Brazilian parlay. It was live for a good long while there. It was an exciting moment of Brazilian parlay.
I wonder if you had round robin it, how you would have done.
Oh, I didn't consider that, because like even the Joaquim Silva Drakkar close was like, okay, he's competitive, and then that's when it fell apart. But you know, four or five fights in, I was still like, there's a plus 87,000
sitting in that account that ain't gone red yet.
I say it's not dead yet. So,
yeah, just like going into the main card, still having that big Brazilian chalk parlay, a grand on the line sitting there. And I was just like, one of these three in Michel, Caio, or Vitor Petrino is going to cost me. And when we got through Caio and Michel with just relative ease, there was a dicey moment. I thought we were going to get a no contest.
Probably should have, but it was way cooler to not.
Way cooler, especially in Brazil.
Really cool, baby.
It was poetic for Vitor Petrino to fall into a guillotine. So shout out.
Not even fall in. He kind of just inserted himself into it. It's like, oh, here's the stockade. What if I put my head in there? I wonder what will happen.
And then I wonder what will happen if it's just so tight that I jump down and try to force myself out and it just doesn't work out.
Could have cleared the legs during the takedowns. Like, nah, let's just give it to him. Choices were made.
Anywho, that was UFC 301. Let's move on to UFC St. Louis, baby. Mound City, I'm seeing, is a nickname for it. Don't know who calls it that, but if you Google nicknames for St. Louis, Mound City comes up. Not even 1% as cool as Brick City, which is just over the water from me, where the next pay-per-view will be taking place, Newark, New Jersey. But shout out to Mound City.
You haven't been to St. Louis?
I haven't. How is it?
It's a lovely place.
I've heard nothing but good things.
The Arch is cool. It's just like a very, very nice Midwestern city, you know?
Gateway to the old Midwest, huh?
It's gateway to the West. Happiness, really. Yeah. West. Buddy of mine's from there, been a couple of times. Just a really underrated, nice city. Just never have a bad time in St. Louis.
Nelly? Shout out to the Blues.
Shout out to Nelly.
Shout out to Anheuser-Busch. Crush a couple buds. Bud Light, the official sponsor, the official beer sponsor of the UFC. Mark McGuire, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk. The list goes on and on.
There's a lot going on.
Shout out to St. Louis. And when you think of St. Louis, you think of Derek Lewis and Rodrigo Nascimento, our main event heavyweight bout. Right now, Derek Lewis is your favorite. Sitting right there for the pickings. As I pull up the odds here, minus 155, Nascimento, plus 130. I feel like this is a step down for Derek Lewis. I mean, Nascimento was going to split decisions with Tanner Bozer and Alir Latifi. Not really a finisher at heavyweight. Feel like that plays into Derek Lewis's hands. Not really like a big wrestler, and I definitely don't think he's a wrestler to the point where he's just going to be able to hold down Derek Lewis. And like, if you're not going to finish Derek Lewis, and like, you're not just going to sit on him like Jailton Almeida, chances are like you're probably going to get knocked out. You're probably going to get knocked out. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I think Derek Lewis is going to knock Rodrigo Nascimento out.
I agree. We are in full agreement here. This is, my notes are pretty simple on this one. It's Nascimento got knocked out by Chris Daukaus. If you're not going to tackle Derek Lewis and you're not someone with the chin of a Tai Tuivasa, because, you know, like, Lewis was landing the lunchboxes on Ty. Ty just ate him and fired back. If you're not doing either of those two things, how are you beating him? I think he's just going to knock him out. It's going to be, which is great. Like, that's, you know, joked about it a bit. St. Louis probably doesn't really care that much about Derek Lewis. though, you know, St. Louis, Derek Lewis, you get a little bit of this.
Shit, I didn't even think about that. Make it St. L-E-W-I-S. It's St. Louis this weekend, baby. I love it.
Seeing your face.
Oh, yeah.
And the realization.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. This one's turning into St. Louis this weekend.
Yeah, this is St. Derek Lewis is going to come in and deliver the goods for him. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think, honestly, this needs much of a breakdown. Derek Lewis is going to do Derek Lewis things. It's going to be a good night. Everyone's going to love it.
That's it.
He's going to take his pants off after he wins, I'm sure. St. Louis is hot.
honestly, we can like kind of ponder the making of this main event. At the end of the day, you can't really have a bad time when Derek Lewis is there. Like, yeah. It's like, if you're going to do like a questionable heavyweight main event, you might as well have Derek Lewis on the A side of it.
Exactly. Like he's a deeply popular fighter, and you're going to end the night in a fun way. Very likely. This is kind of a good matchup for that. If Nascimento wins, of course the vibes would be a little down, but it'll be fine. And if the more likely outcome, Derek Lewis gets a big knockout, takes his, you know, does the smashing Donkey Kong of the thing celebration, the Black Beast celebration, and then takes his pants off for an interview. Everyone's going to leave whatever arena this is.
Enterprise Center, man. Come on, show some love.
So what, everyone leaving the Enterprise Center is going to feel like they got their money's worth.
Yeah, I mean, they speak about the Enterprise Center in the same conversations as Staples, MSG. I mean, the cathedrals of sport.
It's true. That's on me. Hand up. That's on me.
Hey, they saw a Stanley Cup a few years ago. Yeah. I'm parlaying the under, that's for sure. I mean, if it loses, it's just going to be just the most aggravating thing ever. The under 3.5, that is. I mean, it's just going to be pull your hair out, even if I don't have any hair to pull out. Or it's just going to be the easiest, peasiest thing ever. And Derek Lewis gets him out of there in the first two rounds.
Yeah, I'm just on Derek Lewis straight. I've kept it real tight this week. I have one fight that I'm very excited to talk about, and the rest of it is... The rest of it's all pretty chalky.
I could see you getting pretty giddy there in the eyes when you talked about the fight you're excited to talk about, so I can't wait to hear it.
It's not the fight you're expecting me to be excited about, let me tell you.
That makes me even more excited to hear how excited you are about said fight. Let's move on to the co-main event. Joaquin Buckley taking on Nursultan Ruzabayev. And right now, Joaquin Buckley.
Look, I'm not going to lie. That's a hard one. You pulled it off with aplomb.
I'm not going to lie, man. I completely forgot that like that speed bump was there waiting for me. And I just pushed through. I went in there like I was about to say Joaquin Buckley versus Tim Johnson. And then I was like, oh, shit. Going to have to power through this one. Nursultan Ruzabayev.
You did it exactly like a speed bump. You're flying. Here's a speed bump. Yeah. I'm going to check the brakes.
Yep.
Little slower over it, and then we're right back to it. That was professional.
I mean, that's what they call me, just a pro's pro. Right now, Joaquin Buckley, -135. Ruzabayev, +114. If you think these names sound familiar, it's because we just talked about them about 4 or 5 weeks ago for UFC Atlantic City. Both those guys fought on that card. I was in attendance for it.
Who was more impressive?
Joaquin Buckley was wildly impressive, but you know what was actually more impressive? The crowd, the Uzbekistanian crowd support for Nursultan Ruzabayev. Like he is beloved by that country. I mean, if you go on his socials, he's got like 1.5 million followers. It seems to be real followers as well. Oh my gosh. And like, dude, you would look. Throughout the entire arena, and it was just like scattered throughout. We're just like people. Like I saw a woman crying as he was making his walkout. I'm like, I'm not even making that up. She had the Uzbekistan flag, and like she was legit so emotional that she was crying as he was making his walk. Like this guy is
national pride,
repping hard for Uzbekistan.
Ton of other Uzbek kind of fighters out there to be attached to. So okay,
yeah, I mean he has got. He has got support out the wazoo, man. The Uzbek mafia crashed on AC. Is it going to be the same for Joaquin Buckley in St. Louis? I wonder. Are people going to be so emotional they're brought to tears? Is this going to be St. Louis flags all throughout? Like, I mean, just like, here's Joaquin Buckley. the fight itself, Joaquin Buckley is hot, man. I can't really doubt him after that Vicente Luque performance. He made me look dumb in there. On the flip side of that, Ruzibayev is a big boy, man. He usually fights a middleweight. He has fought at welterweight in the past, but now he's coming down to welterweight.
6'5". Short notice.
Short notice as well.
That,
so like
that, he's coming down on like 4 or 5 weeks notice. That's the part that gives me pause.
Oh, for
he's
sure.
He's huge, dude.
Huge. Like 6'5 at 170 is a big boy. Like that.
I don't think he's
boy.
Making the weight. Like just straight up, I just don't think he's going to make weight.
That is definitely a concern. But if he does make weight, this could also be a problematic matchup for Joaquin Buckley. I mean, that height, like he's going to be 7 inches taller than this dude. That height differential is going to cause issues. We have seen it in the past. Guy on this very card, Trey Waters versus Josh Quinlan. Josiane Nunez versus...
I almost parlayed up Trey Waters and Ruzibayev just because they're both giant human. The 6'5".
Yeah, the lanky parlay. The Saint lanky parlay.
When you give it a name like that, now I want to do it.
I mean, Josiane Nunez, Ferris Aaron, like we have seen this, like when you have that big of a height advantage, like it definitely creates issues. Joaquin Buckley probably going to be going for like a highlight reel in front of his home crowd. Does he get it? I don't know. Does Ruzibayev counter and knock him out? He does have a ton of finishes on his record, though the resume leading up to the UFC, a touch questionable. I don't have a side in this one. But I see a lot of people, especially because Joaquin Buckley's hot. He's fighting in St. Louis. I see a ton of people backing Buckley. I'm not so sure. I got a lot of question marks around this matchup. I don't know who is going to win.
I feel exactly the same as you do. The height is a huge thing for me because of what you said.
5'10 to 6'5". That's big.
That's a big gap. I will say Buckley has beaten tall dudes before. Antonio Arroyo is like 6'3", 6'4". Not 6'5", but still... I really didn't want to bet this fight straight up as well, given the I just don't think Ruzibayev is making weight. I could be wrong. He's certainly fought at welterweight plenty of times and has never missed weight, as far as I could tell, kind of looking it up. And kind of, I don't know if you saw this. His debut was at lightweight. This man was a 6'5 lightweight for one fight. Granted, Jaylen that was like Turner a decade ago, but That's a large man to be fighting at lightweight. I assume that he believes he can make it because he stepped this up, but it's just a weird fight. Also, this is like a really bad fight for Buckley, and we talked about it on other programs on MMAfighting.com, great website. Buckley did all the worst things you could do after the Luque fight, where he's like, I want to headline this fight night card. Okay, there's already a headliner, so that was never going to happen. Didn't really call for a name. Then goes up and tries to make UFC 300 week about him, you know, doing the fan Q&A, popping him like, hey, let me get on that St. Louis card, Dana. and so they gave it to him, and now he's fighting a dude that people don't really know about unless you're Uzbek.
That's what I was going to say, man, is like, that's another wrinkle to this fight. We still don't really know like about Ruzibayev that much. Like he could be a stud. Or like that fight in AC against Dumas, like, yeah, on his record, it says uppercut and ground punches, round one knockout. But actually, there was the question of like, oh, did he poke Dumas in the eye? Is that why he was able to land those punches? Is that why he got the finish? It was a very weird fight. And then before that was the Bruno Ferreira fight, which 77 seconds, like, doesn't answer a ton of questions for us.
Yeah, he's an unknown in his product. He's a real kind of unknown to the fans. So, like, this is all downside for Buckley to take this fight other than getting to be the co-main event in his hometown. So I passed on a straight bet. I decided that I was just – because I feel a little bit the same way. Not quite. We'll get into it later. Sean Woodson's going to beat Alex Caceres, I believe. But I didn't really want to bet Sean Woodson at the price he was at. And so with two guys who are from the same hometown, it's like, I'll parlay them together. And less of a, they're not, their odds are so large, I'm just doing this because I think they're going to win. And more, I kind of want to be invested in them. And I'd rather limit my exposure to just one bet between the two of them. So I've parlayed the two St. Louis favorites on the card, basically.
Okay, all right.
And we'll see how it goes. But I got to tell you, I'm interested in the St. Lanky parlay, because when you give it a good name like that, it really makes me interested.
And there's two huge guys, 6'5" welterweights fighting on the same card.
Yeah, I really, really considered it, but then I didn't want to do like a deep dive into Trey Waters, and I didn't want to like bet just totally blind. So I didn't.
I did not go with the side on this one, but I did take the under 2.5 at -210. Buckley 11 of his last 14 under the 2.5. Ruzibayev 13 of his last 14. I really do think Buckley is going to be looking to come in here and make a highlight in front of his hometown, get the crowd going crazy. And it either works out for him, or I think he overextends and Ruzibayev makes a highlight out of him.
Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney, fixer, and friend, testified this week in Manhattan.
Todd Blanche is upset because he knows that he looks like a fool right now representing Donald Trump. It is the stupidest opening to a cross-examination I have ever heard, and I have heard a lot of stupid stuff.
I'm Preet Bharara, and this week, Katie Fang, host of MSNBC's The Katie Fang Show, joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet, to talk about the latest court news from Trump's trial. The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sounds right to me.
Let's go on to the featured bout of the evening. Alonzo Menifield taking on ladies' night. Carlos Olberg back in the octagon. And right now, Olberg, your favorite, -265. Alonzo Menifield coming back at +215. How are we feeling about the Black Jag?
I think Black Jag's going to win this. I think ladies' night is just a much better name.
I mean, this is a pro Olberg podcast. I feel like
we're pro.
We don't need to bring that up around New York Rick or anything. He's very he's anti Olberg agenda. But I mean, we're not here for any of that.
Yeah, no, we're very pro Olberg. I'm pro ladies' night. I'm not pro Black Jag. It's not as good of a nickname.
Always been ladies' night. I mean, the guy is ridiculous looking, like you just can't deny it. Like he's tall, dark, and handsome. That's about all you need.
Yeah, just the one of the most attractive men currently competing in the sport. I don't know what else there is to say about it.
So, I mean, it's not up for debate. It's just a fact of the matter. You should have kept it ladies' night.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been dealing, man. He's been on a run. I had questions when he came in, just because he came into the UFC and was so raw. You know, he only had like 3 fights or whatever. And was just like, okay, you're coming in because you got the CKB. Like they're just getting you the bumped in. And he comes in and, you know, he loses to my guy, Kennedy Inzachukwu, who's no longer my guy. We've parted ways with Kennedy Inzachukwu and Jalen Turner. They've hurt me too many times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, then I was like, well, he lost to Inzachukwu. That's okay. Cause we all know Inzachukwu is a baller. Turns out maybe he's not, but he hasn't lost since then. And granted, the quality of competition is not great, but it's fine. Like it's been doing prospect things. It's been progressively better, and he is looking better every time out. His last fight, Don Jung, thought was a really good performance. You know, getting that finish late too. Got a glove continuing to search for the win deep. I think he's going to beat Alonzo Menifield, but the price is pretty big. Could have been parlay fodder, I guess, maybe. But I, like I said, I'm trying to keep it pretty tight this week. I've only got 6 bets, including the parlay. And so I just said, I don't need to search for him. We'll just enjoy this one. So where are you at?
I parlayed Olberg when he was -210. I'm with you. I think he's going to beat Menifield a lot. I see a lot of people saying that Menifield's going to come in here and just like really just rely on the wrestling throughout. He's got 5 takedowns over the course of his 12-fight career. I don't know if that is going to be the main game plan for him, and I'm not even convinced that it's going to work successfully.
It's not a lot.
If it is what he does. And when it comes to the striking, I think Carlos Olberg is going to have an advantage, not just the skill-wise, but also I think he's going to put up much heavier volume. Alonzo Menifield obviously could catch him with something, and obviously he could go to the wrestling, but I do think this is going to be a mostly striking affair. I think Olberg is going to outvolume him, and I think he's very live for a knockout as well.
Yeah, I think Menifield will go to the wrestling. I don't, like you said, that just isn't part of his game. And when you start doing something like that, even if maybe you do have success, there's just been a long history of that not working, because you got to dance with the girl who brought you. Like you got to compete with the weapons you have. Thiago Santos against somebody, I can't remember off the top of my head, came in and just started shooting doubles and like won two rounds and then got knocked out because he was gassed out because his game is not built on compete like wrestling
end over end.
Yes, it was Jamal Hill. Because he comes out and he's like, okay, he's having success. He's doing it. And if this were a three-round fight, maybe, like, maybe he just stole two rounds. It's a five-round fight and he gets knocked out. He just gassed himself out. I think if Mitrofield comes shooting, he's going to get tired by the end of the first round, and then he's going to be a sitting duck.
Yeah, I think Santos was up 3-1 on all three judges' scorecards heading into that fourth round before getting knocked out. So, yeah, we shall see, though, with Mitrofield and Ullberg. We move on. Diego Fajeda taking on Mateus Rebecki right now. Rebecki, the biggest favorite on the card, sitting at minus 395. Fajeda coming back at plus 310. Yeah, I think Rebecki just aggressive, powerful, stays in your face, forces the takedowns. Once he gets you down, like he doesn't just sit idly. And I think one of the biggest ones, Diego, 39 years old now. Just feels like the pace and the pressure of the young gun is going to be too much, and I think he gets it done.
I couldn't agree more. I'm a big fan of Rebecki.
He's looked good.
I mean, this is the fight that if he wins, I'll start ranking him. He'll get that sort of back into the top 15. My only real concern with Rebecki, honestly, is just – he's probably not a lightweight. Like he's just small, and certainly against like the bigger dudes, that's going to be an issue. We're talking about a dude who is roughly the size of Alexander Volkanovski. And I think Alexander Volkanovski could obviously have a ton of success at lightweight, but that's a narrow window to thread here. But I don't think CDF is going to be the guy to exploit those issues, mainly because he's old. I do think this is a step up for Rebecki. CDF is a guy who's been that sort of fringe top 15, like certainly top 25 guy for a long time.
Yeah, from Roosevelt Roberts, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a big step up, but it's also less of a big step up just because CDF is getting a little older there. And there's such a clear path to victory for Rebecki. Pressure, volume, just spam takedowns. That has been a successful avenue against CDF for the last little bit here. And I think Rebecki gets it done. So it was just too big. I thought about maybe parlaying him and Ullberg together, but the price is huge. I'm not getting a great payout. I was like, that's fine. I just won't even bet it.
That is actually exactly what I did. I did it on Sunday, though. I got that at plus 101, them two together. And that's what I'm riding. It can't be overstated. Does the Polish factor come into play? I mean, just two fights ago, Diego Fajeda had to deal with a Polish man by the name of Mateusz Rebecki, finished in the second round.
Now you mean Mateusz Gamrot? He's fighting Mateusz Rebecki this weekend.
Yeah, Mateusz Gamrot. My apologies. Oh, that's another wrinkle to this, though. He's having to fight another Mateusz Polish man. Nightmares are coming back up.
Maybe he just can't beat Mateusz.
The nightmares are coming back up.
Maybe other Mateusz is in the UFC that we can match him up to really get...
We're running slower this morning. I'm not even going to lie. I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, he's got to fight another Polish guy. Not even for 1 second did I realize until I accidentally called Mateusz Gamrot and Mateusz Rebecki that I realized that they were both named Mateusz as well. I mean, this is a nightmare matchup for the guy. The guy is in cold sweats. He's like, not another Mateusz, please.
Please, no Mateusz.
I'm shocked he even signed the contract at this point.
I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to get as good a price as you are now, but... if you're on this parlay, it was kind of one I was sort of eyeballing. And then
Let's tag along. Let's have a little fun.
Looks like on DraftKings, if I parlay that up, I can get minus 140. That's fine.
It's not too far off. All right, let's keep it rolling. Alex Caceres takes on Sean the Sniper. Sean the STL Sniper. Sean the St. Louis Sniper Woodson. For those that are not educated at home right now, Sean Woodson, your favorite at minus 198. Caceres coming back at plus 164. Breakdown short, sweet, to the point. You just heard me. The STL Sniper. This fight taking place in STL. The guy's going to snipe. Sean Woodson, minus 175. That's what I took.
You got him at a better price than I did for my parlay, but... I parlayed him up with Joaquin Buckley. I do think he wins this fight. I am just a little bit cagey in the fact that I've never been all the way sold on Woodson. And Caceres has a penchant for ruining my evenings sometimes, where I'm just like, because I just don't think he's very good. Like, he's certainly not bad, but I don't think he's good. I've bet against him and kind of been burnt a few times. So because I'm a little cagier, and because, like I said, I was a little cagey about Buckley, but I kind of want to be exposed to them on, you know, on this St. Louis card. Parlayed them together to limit my exposure, but still to have some vested interest. So, yeah, I do think Woodson should be able to get his hand raised here, frankly. But so just being a little cautious. We got a lot of big dudes on this card.
Oh, sure do.
Like
sure
a lot of huge guys compared to their weight classes, which should be like my favorite thing. Like I'm a big supporter of large men in their weight classes, but I'm real cagey this week for some reason.
Oh, you shouldn't. You should just let it fire, man. Yeah, Sean Woodson, 6'2" at the old featherweight.
He's gonna have like 5-6 inches of height on Caceres, isn't he? Yeah. Caceres is kind of tall.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have 5 inches.
Yeah,
I think he's 5'9". No, 5'10". So just four, just the 4 inches,
just four. Inches. It's still a lot.
5 inches of reach, though. I mean, I feel like his Sean Woodson has a St. Louis tattoo on his belly. I feel like that's just gonna glow green once he's in the octagon, and it's just
power him up.
Yeah,
power him up. I'm gonna start putting together a just tall dude parlay and see what that pays us out. Continue. I'll let you know as we
move on. Yeah, let's move on to another heavyweight bout on this main card. Waldo Cortez Acosta, your favorite, my favorite, Andrei Arlovsky's favorite, taking on Robles de Spain right now. The Cuban Ngannou -205. Waldo Cortez Acosta +170. I mean, I've been on Robles for a couple weeks now. I mean, he's actually why I've had this fight night circled. I think last week we ended the episode with, it's not St. Louis, it is the Spain fight night. I mean, how can you not at least be intrigued? How can you not at least be intrigued with the guy's background, the credentials that he has behind him, and then the first performance against Josh Parisian? I mean, 17, 18 seconds, whatever it was. You can watch his whole career in a matter of 5 minutes. And that is with the buffering of Fight Pass and everything like that. Like, how can you not at least just be like a little bit intrigued? And he is the most intriguing matchup of the weekend for me. And I feel like this is a great fight for him, man. I feel like this is a great fight. I feel like they went down the heavyweight roster and they were like, who do we feel like really matches up well with him? Waldo Cortez Acosta, essentially a boxer, like used to have a boxing career, didn't really have much success, went 6-4 and that, was knocked out 3 times over in the boxing scene. But since he got to the UFC, he's pretty much just boxing, not going to go for takedowns, not really dangerous, has been through many a decision, as we know. And then his UFC resume is just not the best one I've ever seen. 4-1, wins coming against Jared Vandera, Chase Sherman, Lucas Bretsky, and the cherry on top of 45-year-old Andrei Arlovsky.
All hitters.
All death row, the Mount Rushmore of the heavyweight division. It's revenge time for Arlovsky. Go back and watch the fight in January if you missed it. I mean, the striking numbers, it's like 61 apiece on significant strikes landed, and like Arlovsky is like actively jabbing him up, and like Waldo Cortez Acosta is like breakdance showboating in front of a legend in Andrei Arlovsky's face. It's revenge time. We got Shogun avenged last week with Michel. Robles does the same. Knockout round one.
I love the breakdown. I have no notes to add other than just ride the wave. Ride the Cuban wave, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be fun.
Why would you not want to bet on this guy? Like,
shout out to 10 Day Tony, by the way. Shout out. Lock of the millennia.
Lock of the millennium, and it sure was. Want a lock of the millennium, you want it to not sweat, and he nailed it.
He nailed it, and this is just an electric guy. The thing I'm excited for, he wins this one. You know, WCA, not a great fighter, but a guy who at least has a pretty established track record in the UFC at this point. He wins this one, Connor. And we can start talking about the matchup that I wanted immediately, that I thought maybe we had a chance of getting. We got to take the big boy versus biggie boy, Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Robles de Spain. Like that'll happen into the year if he wins it, when he wins this fight. And I got chills just thinking about the chaos and the anarchy that will occur.
I am all in on that. That'd be fantastic. That has UFC Apex 99 main event written all over it. And I'm there for it. You could even use that as a co-main at UFC Apex 100.
I mean, I no wrong way to eat that Reese's. Either of those works. I love it. So, yeah, ride the wave, ladies and gentlemen.
Any sort of history in like baseball rivalries between the Dominican Republic and Cuba? Anything?
I would be truly astonished if there was not.
I feel like they've kind of had like a back and forth. Here's some highlights from the 06 Cuba versus Dominican Republic game. I mean, I feel like they, you know, there's a little bit of contention here. And that just adds to it. That just adds to this great rivalry. I can't wait for it. I just get a chuckle. I just have to laugh just a little bit every time I see 6'7", 87 inch reach. He's
another
gonna be
big boy.
Gonna be 3 inches taller and have a 9 inch reach advantage. On
we're gonna add him to the big boy parlay, which currently has Ruzabayev. I've put Olberg in there because he's pretty big light heavyweight. You could convince me like he's not like outsized, he's just 6'4", which is, you know, a big light heavyweight still. Woodson and Despotin are that's our current big boy parlay.
Are we throwing Trey Waters in there?
Trey Waters is for sure, but we're going down the line as we move through. Trey Waters will 100% be in there, though.
I'm hoping we get Blonde Olberg on Saturday. That has to kind of factor into the capping a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Minus 500 if he's Blonde Olberg.
Oh, for sure. All right, let's keep it rolling to the prelims. Chase Hooper taking on Vyacheslav Borshev. You might know him as Slava Claus, and right now he is your favorite at minus 148. Chase Hooper coming back at plus 124. Slava Claus is great, dude. Love the dancing. He can hit like a truck when he gets the boxing going. It is truly beautiful, but there is a massive, massive disparity in the grappling in this one. Like if this thing hits the ground, it is a wide margin. And I mean, Borshev is not a great grappler, doesn't have great takedown defense, and he is going up against the guy who is skilled in the grappling department. And with that, I just can't ignore it. I had to play Chase Hooper as a dog.
Exactly the same breakdown. It won't stun me if Slava Claus just lamps him because he hits real hard and Chase Hooper
is... I agree.
Hooper is
seen Chase Hooper knocked out before. Steve Garcia fight, shout out.
Hooper is getting better at striking, but he is still like bad at it and pretty uncomfortable with it. Like when he starts to get hit, he doesn't take that well, which isn't ideal. But the gulf on the floor is just so vast. And if Slava Claus was a better wrestler, I would be like, okay, yeah, he should be the favorite. He's a bad wrestler. So like... I just think Hooper should be the favorite, even though I understand maybe why he's not. So I also played him as a dog.
That's when you make the bet. If you think someone should be a favorite and you're getting plus money on them, then that's when you make a bet. 36% takedown defense for Borshev. And you just – sometimes it is tough to rely on fighters in a high-intensity, high-adrenaline, emotional match – going down to like fully trust that they're going to make the right decisions when it comes down to it. But you gotta think backstage and the entire camp, they've been like, we just gotta get one takedown, Chase.
One.
Just one takedown, bro. And like, you just have to think that is the game plan. You might have to take a couple on the way in, but just know that if you don't get knocked out and you get this guy to the ground, then you are likely going to get your hand raised.
Yep. So, yeah, easy. Honestly, a very simple breakdown, but I think this fight's pretty straightforward.
Sick. Let's move to another simple breakdown in my eyes. Terrence McKinney taking on Esteban Ribovich. Right now, Ribovich is your favorite at minus 162. T-Rex plus 136. I don't have a side here.
I know what you do have.
I think you know what I do have. Love Terrence McKinney to death. And I love his fighting style. The under's getting parlayed. It's a T-Rex fight week. The under is for sure getting parlayed. Just to, you know, for those people that may not know, you're going to come at me and be like, Connor, Rybovich has gone to a decision in every one of his UFC fights, that being two. Let me just tap you into old Rybovich. The 11 before he got to the UFC, not a single one went to a decision. But that doesn't matter. Terrence McKinney could be fighting a tree. He could be fighting a sponge on the ground, and it would not matter. The fight would not go to a decision. McKinney, 21 fights, my friends. 21 fights. He's seen a third round one single time. That fight did not go to a decision. 17 of those 21. 17 of those 21 have ended in the very first round. He is the gift that keeps on giving. He is all action all the time. So much so, he had a grappling match in January that also ended in the very first round.
Yeah, 20 of his 21 fights have not made the over 1.5.
It's a thing of beauty. I love betting unders because cheering for unders is the most fun thing, especially when they hit. And Terrence McKinney is just like, you go into it knowing that even if for some weird reason it didn't hit, it has such a good chance and it's going to be exciting along the way.
Yeah. And I do disagree with you on one thing that you said, which is parlaying this up, because I'm not going to burn free money by maybe attaching it to something else to lose.
Okay.
It's only -220 for the under. They're handing you free dollars, and I'm not going to attach those dollars to something else that might go to waste. I'm just going to take the free money and I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
So here's what I did. I love that style that you're going with. Biggest bet of the card by far, clip unloader. McKinney Rybovich under 2.5 -650. Cortez Acosta de Spain under 2.5 -500. Luis Nascimento under 3.5 -600. -163. Biggest bet of the card by far. It's just a bet that like I'm just gonna feel warm and fuzzy inside if it hits, because it's just one of those ones that I just feel
it's gonna hit. I mean,
that is me knocking on wood, folks. Let's get the mic down to that. We never count a chicken before it has hatched. But yes,
unless it's Robles de Spahn,
then is we my count biggest it. Bet on the card.
Log of the Millennium.
Second biggest bet of the card is de Spahn. So when Waldo Cortez Acosta wins by decision, just go ahead and just pray for your boy.
We should have hit up Tony and been like, Tony, is this also part of the Lock of Millennia? Or
yeah, is this like a super galactic international intergalactic?
It's not Miami anymore,
lock
so there's
the
that.
Century.
But
there's
you know.
That. I think there's a big Cuban population in St. Louis.
Sure.
Let's check the
Why
demographics.
Not?
Oh, wait. No, there is only 17 Cuban people in St. Louis. I kid. I have no actual big Cuban pop.
I mean, sure, but at the same time, I wouldn't have said there's a big Uzbek population in Atlantic City, and apparently that is the case. So,
all right. So, I do just want to throw out there that I don't think there is a big Uzbek population in Atlantic City. I think they flew and they took over the city.
I love
for their
that.
Boy.
Then. I love that. If that's the case,
I really do think that's the case. I'm going through census reports right now. I'm trying to find the Cuban population in St. Louis. It looks like about 0.48% of the population. So I'm hoping all of them will be in the ranking 3,510th nationally.
That's not great.
I don't love that. I'd be lying if I said that I did love that, but good thing there's a thing called airplanes and the fans can travel for that.
Well, I mean, just check what's the Dominican population in St. Louis, you know, more or less.
Oh my God. It's the most densely Dominican populated city in America. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be wild if that was the case.
St. Louis, not to be confused with San Luis, Dominican Republic.
San Luis though is St. Louis.
Sketch. This is getting sketch. Here's an article from SDLPR. Latino population continues to grow in St. Louis region, surged by Dominican population.
Connor, what have we done? We didn't do our research before we put the bets in.
I will say I was just having some fun. The article just is, the St. Louis region is already home for many St. Louis and many more are moving here. I was just kidding about the Dominican part. That would actually be so hilarious.
That would be that would have been unbelievable.
Led the charge by UFC fighter Waldo Cortez Acosta. Yeah. Anheuser-Busch Brewery has hired 27,000 Dominican employees. No. I think we'll be fine.
I believe in us.
Shout out to St. Louis, growing Latino population.
Shout
out. I love it. Gotta love it. All right. We continue to roll on. Tabitha Ricci, baby shark, taking on Tisha, you used to call me Torres, Pennington. Is that her nickname? So
sure.
What did he used to be?
I don't
tornado.
The tiny tornado.
The tiny tornado. Yeah. Oh, actually, Typology updated it. You used to call me Torres.
Did they?
Yeah. Tisha, you used to call me Torres Pennington. Actually, Typology hasn't even updated it from Tisha Torres. Shout out.
This is the first I saw the Pennington thing.
Shout out.
So
that's big.
I'm sure they'll be on it better
when you become UFC royalty. When you become champ, you want to be a part of that. You want to change the nickname. Yep. I mean, Pennington now carries a heavy weight. There's gold attached to that name. And Tisha Torres may be next in the strawweight division. I got nothing on this fight. I think it's pretty binary. I think Ricci's either getting the takedowns and she wins probably 30-27, or she's not getting the takedowns and it's just the closest, sweatiest, butt-clenching split decision you have. It's going to the scorecards and you're like, yeah, I think we got that one. I don't know. And then Bruce Buffer's like, Sal D'Amato scores it, 29, and you're just like, fuck. So I got nothing here.
This is the last bet I have on the card, and Connor, this is the fight I was excited about.
Wow, this is it?
I told you it was not the fight you would think it would be.
This is actually the last fight I was hoping it would be. How many fights are on this card? 13?
13.
And 13 this fights? This ranks 13th on what I wanted this to be.
Let me tell you why I'm excited, because I did the dumbest thing. Honor. And I'm so pumped about it because while you have given her this new nickname, that kind of goes against everything I stand for because, again, she's the tiny tornado.
Wow.
And Tabitha Ricci is baby shark. And you know what happens when the two of those meet? You get a sharknado, Connor. You get a sharknado. And
this is great.
I can't explain. I should be ashamed by this. The amount of time I put in to the Sharknado universe to find a way to read what the gods were telling me for
I have an idea of where this might go, but I need to hear where it goes.
Do you know how vast the Sharknado universe is?
I know there's at least four of them.
Oh, buddy. There are so many more than four
Jesus.
Of them.
How are budgets for that a thing?
I don't think there's been a lot of money on these, Connor. If you've seen any of the Sharknados, they are not really dropping a whole lot of
money. Wow, I mean, the last one was the 10th anniversary, and the poster says, more sharks, more NATO.
So the More Sharks, More NATO is the 10th anniversary theatrical release of Sharknado. But there are six canon Sharknado films of the direct franchise, I guess. And then there are three spinoff films, including two that are just totally separate but the same idea, called Lavalantula, which, as you can imagine, is giant tarantulas and volcanoes.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a volcanic avalanche. Okay, I like that. Lavalantula.
No.
These people are just out there just getting ripped off their ass. And they're just like, what natural disaster can we combine with a terrifying creature?
They're fire-spitting tarantulas. They're two lavalanches, and then there's Sharknado Heart of Sharkness. I went down a deep dive. You just can't imagine where this franchise goes in the last Sharknado. It's about time. They go back in time. Ben Franklin is involved in the film. Just they go back to the Cretaceous period.
Did you watch all of these, or you just read synopsises?
I saw the original because I think everyone saw the original when it came out.
I'm looking at a picture right here of Sharknado 2. It looks like they are filming in Manhattan. That is not cheap.
I can't speak to whether they actually did this. Was Sharknado before your time? Like, I don't remember.
When did the first one come out? Like 2009?
That sounds like that might be right. Somewhere in that time frame.
Oh yeah, Sharknado 2, the second one, Shark Happens.
Sorry, 2013 was the debut. So where were you in 2013?
Oh, college, man. I mean, I am very familiar with Sharknado. I never watched it, though. Yeah, Sharknado 2 is set in New York, man. I mean, they must have. I love that Sharknado 1, just Sharknado, the poster just says Sharknado. Enough said. Enough said. Yeah, man. Sci-Fi Channel. That's it.
It's a perfect movie in that it's awful, but it is firmly aware that it's awful. And then they just lean into it. Sharknado 5 is called Global Swarming, which is one of the best names I've ever heard for a movie, frankly.
My jaw is on the floor that they made it to 5.
They made it to 6 and 3 spinoffs, Connor. They made it to 6 and 3 spinoffs. And I had to tell you, they should just make them forever. It made me, as I dove in, it made me want to watch the others and be like, these are all terrible, but I could take some substances and probably have a good time watching Tara Reid talk to Ben Franklin about shark tornadoes.
You smoke a J, you have a couple beers, and you're just like, this is actually pretty good.
Got 90 minutes to kill. Let's saddle up, partner. I spent so much time when I realized Sharknado was a thing. Spent so much time trying to find the angle, the betting angle. And ultimately, I couldn't. There was nothing that, like, there's not a character named Tabitha or a character named like, there's not, like, who gets eaten by a shark. There's nothing like that. And so I just, not kidding, I probably spent an hour and a half of just diving into Sharknado trying to find something. And what I ultimately settled on, look, I mean, I'm going to bet Sharknado the fight. I'm going to bet the fight. There's no way around it. It's not called Tornado Shark. It's called Sharknado. The shark is the primary facet of this franchise, and it's going to be the primary part of this fight. I'm taking Baby Shark because it's Sharknado, and it's not Nato Shark.
Oh, I thought the just like obvious thing was fighting inside the distance plus 275. Like, I thought it was just a layup of like, this is just going to be chaos, and it's just going to
could be.
They're going to wreck the octagon because it's.
It's also hard for me to think that when I've watched the two of them fight before.
I mean, yeah, it's going to decision 1000%, but like, if you want to make a donation in the name of Sharknado, you could have done that. Is there some credence to be said here that baby shark versus tiny tornado? I don't know what's there, but like, it is just interesting that
it's a small Sharknado.
Yeah.
It's just the baby Sharknado. It's the best.
It's great.
So when I realized that this was happening, I was like, I immediately went to Sharknado. I was like, I gotta find a way to make this work.
All right. So Baby Shark it is. You know, a long and winding path to get there, but
it's the last bet I have on the card as well, Connor, other than maybe this Saint Lanky parlay that we're working on.
So actually I have no more bets on the card either. So we can just rip through these last four fights quickly. Trey Waters, Billy Goff. I really like Trey Waters, just the size I thought about playing. The insane length.
Saint Lanky.
Yeah, Saint Lanky. But Billy Goff's kind of a junkyard dog, so that's why I stayed away.
I agree. For the exact same reasons. And I spent too much time looking into Sharknado related things to spend enough time to properly break down these other prelims. But I mean, he's obviously part of the Saint Lanky parlay. We're gonna see if we feel like making just throwing a couple bucks on it to see.
Jake Hadley, Charles Johnson. As you mentioned earlier, Charles Johnson fight. Therefore, I am staying away. His sins that he committed against the nation of flyweight unders will not be forgiven anytime soon.
I almost thought about just betting the over because Charles Johnson, there's one thing he loves.
That's the one fight that he'll go under.
But exactly. Because if there's one thing he loves, it's not going to decision. It's hurting us personally. It's making personal attacks against us in the nation. So
it is also getting so close to a finish that like you're kind of jogging in place in front of your TV being like, stop the fight, stop the fight, stop the fight. And then the fight doesn't get stopped.
Dude,
and then it goes to a decision.
Freaking Maxim. Like, I was dead to rights and then almost had him dead to rights and still just couldn't get it. Oh, it's a brutal fight. So yeah, hard pass on anything related to Charles Johnson.
Yeah, I'm out on that one as well. I mean, just in less than 2 years, the man fights a lot. You gotta give him some credit there. 7 fights. This will be his 8th fight in under 2 years. 6 decisions. Just can't have it, Charles. Just can't have it. Night Train versus Kevin Doucette. I bet against Kevin Doucette last time. Called me and the entire show staff at the MMA are dummies for picking against them. So I will not called be betting out. Against them. Yeah. Called out straight up. Gotta own up to it, man. But at minus 214, I'm just going to stay away as well. Just going to support from the sidelines here. Let's go KJ.
Yeah. I think Doucette probably does win this fight, but I don't have a good enough read on what Jared Gooden's about. So I'm out.
Last but not least, JJ Aldrich versus Veronica Hardy. I will be strongly supporting Veronica Hardy. She's a lovely human being. Has come
really nice person.
Yeah, coming to studio a couple times. Her and Dan are both just very really enjoy the cerebral approach that they take to MMA. And they seem like they just appreciate the game. And Veronica Hardy seems like she's turned the corner, man, and she is putting work in the gym, bro. She's deadlifting like 400. I think the strength is going to be great for her, but this fight is almost positively going to decision. It is almost positively going to be very close. I mean, just like the Jamie Lynn Horth fight was very close. This is a step up. I think Veronica Hardy's going to win. I'm going to cheer for her, but you don't have to put money on someone to support them. I've learned that now.
You don't. You can just support them with the good vibes.
Jack Shore. I supported him last week. Unfortunately, he didn't come out victorious, but I didn't need to lose money on that.
You didn't, and that would have felt tough to lose money with that stoppage, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that would have been a painful one. I strongly considered parlaying the over here with the over in Ricci Torres.
Wouldn't be a bad
Or Ricci Pennington.
Wouldn't be a bad
But I was like, I just got a couple of bets. Let's keep it tidy. Almost certainly going to the scorecards. And like you said, probably pretty close, probably nip tuck. I think Hardy will win, and I'm supporting her. Because great person, met her several times. Great, you know, lovely human being. But no money to back her.
No money to back her, and that's that. UFC Fight Night, St. Louis.
So the St. Lanky parlay, Connor. Just follow me here as I put this together. We did Ruzubayev Woodson, obviously. Trey Waters. I think that those three are pretty clearly St. Lanky parlays.
Then I think also, Despain has to be in there.
I have Despain as well.
87 inch reach. That's Lanky.
It's very lanky. And the question is Carlos Ullberg. Does Ullberg make the St. Lanky parlay?
I see you hold off on Ullberg. 6'4", 77. He's too good looking of a guy. You couldn't call him lanky. You
know I didn't even. This is why I keep you around, Connor. Because you've got insights like that. I wouldn't even thought about it, but you're right. Lanky is a word that shouldn't be associated with Carlos Ullberg.
Yeah, yeah. I'm lanky. I'm lanky out here. I got long arms. I'm skinny. I'm fairly tall. Carlos Ullberg ain't that.
So that parlayed up on DraftKings right now. I don't know if this is a good or a bad sign, Connor. Plus 667. So the rounding, that's the devil's parlay is kind of what we've accomplished here. Plus 666 is a tough spot. But
did your 666 parlay get to the last leg last week?
Sure did. It was Petrino.
Yeah. And then Christ the Redeemer called in the gilly.
Sure did. Yeah, Christ the Redeemer. That you were correct to point that out. I didn't listen to you because I had already made the bet. So there we were. Christ the Redeemer was never going to allow that to happen. Never. I don't think the St. Louis Arch is going to be opposed.
Does the St. Louis Arch have religious ties?
I don't think so. It's an arch. You know, it's.
I'm looking it up. The Gateway Arch ties to religion. Arch City religion. Is there a whole religion based around?
The gateway to the West.
Wow, I'm looking at a pretty weird picture of like people like pray. It almost looks like they're praising the arch. You've been up in the arch?
I haven't been up in the arch.
Feels like that's something you got to do if you go to St. Louis, right?
I don't know. I've just seen it. It just seems fine to stand at the bottom of it and be like, that's a big tall arch.
The St. Louis Arch, a spiritual project born out of white supremacist ideas. Wow.
Oh, that kind of works for the 666 then.
Yeah.
All right, we got some things cooking here. So I'm gonna take a flyer on the St. Lanky parlay just because it's too good of a name.
I've really been enjoying these impromptu Google searches that typically come up with next to nothing. But yeah, shout out to the Arch.
This is the content you come to know about Bard for, yeah. Folks.
Shout out to that. Shout out to UFC St. Louis. That's a wrap for us. Next week we'll be back with I think we got Apache Mix fight. Yeah, Bellator Champion Series. Mix versus Magomedov 2. Sure. I mean, I'm excited anytime Apache Mix fights. Wish it wasn't a rematch. And then Cedric Doumbé coming off a TKO Splinter loss. We'll see how he bounced back. Termites in play, who knows? And then the UFC card is, and Fury Usyk is next week as well. We're going to get an undisputed heavyweight champion of the world for the first time in decades. And then we're back at the Apex. Barboza versus Murphy. One of the worst posters I've ever seen. They tried to do like an old school boxing poster, but the words behind it, I don't know what it's saying. Junior versus...
Let me pull this up.
The Miracle? I think it's Junior versus The Miracle. I guess they went with their nicknames. I don't know why you wouldn't just go Barboza Murphy.
It is Junior versus The Miracle.
If you are unfamiliar with the sport at all, like, I'm not going to lie, I don't really see Edson Barboza as Junior. Just a bad poster, in my opinion.
It's not the best.
Ooh, Carlston Harris fight week as well. Guyana in the building.
I mean, that's for next week. We've gone an hour. An hour's good enough.
This card is...
Every card is terrible, Connor.
Avis Magomedov stuck on the prelims.
The bus!
Either way,
is back!
Big week next week. Big week this week. 13 fights. Fight night in front of a crowd that starts at 4 o'clock. What more could you ask for? Get some barbecue. Get
bump
a Cuban
some
cigar.
Nelly.
Bump some Nelly. Get a Cuban cigar to smoke for Robles de España.
Fire up Sharknado on Friday
Fire
night with a loved
Sharknado.
One.
Sharknado. It's a big week, people. See you next week, though. UFC. I don't know. See you next week.
Love y'all.
Vox Media Podcast Network.